Hopefully it's on this time. Does anybody know what the theme is for tonight, the message title?
No.
You have your paper? It's a call to holiness. In the Church of the Nazarene, we always, in most churches or camp meetings, across the banners in the church, you always see holiness unto the Lord. There's a song called Holiness Unto the Lord is our watchword and song. And that's what the Nazarenes talked about. That's what we preached about. That's what I grew up with. And tonight I want to share with you out of 1 Peter. And the message title is A Call to Holiness. The scripture is 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 14 and 16 through 16. And I'll read it. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do, not in some things you do, in all, it says. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder that we are to be set apart from the world. Lord, you set the example. And Lord, help us to be an example for you. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So let's think about this word, holy. When we think of it, what do you think about when you say holy? You think of somebody that's holy on the outside. You see them like the Pharisees or Sadducees. Everything was done on the outside. But holiness comes from the inside, and it should bubble up on the outside. The word holy is in the contemporary way of thinking, we think it's odd. We think it's a person is there's something wrong with them. It's a term that kids, if you tell them today, you say, you need to live a holy life, you need to walk in the newness of life, to be holy as Christ was holy. But the problem is today, what happens is they don't know what holiness is. People come in and out of the churches, don't know what it is to live holy. Holiness is not thought of as a lifestyle today, but it's thought of as a vice. You tell someone to live a holy life, they say, oh, you've got a list of rule books. It's a rule book. The do's and don'ts. It is do's and don'ts, but it's giving us a guide in the way we should live. But it's not a vice. It's a roadmap for us in our Christian walk. Some people say how insulting it is to be known as holy, because then it puts you up here, above the people. Sometimes pastors sit in a pulpit or stand in a pulpit, and sometimes they look down at people. I always like, because the pulpit is on the same level. You know, when I pastored a church in Kentucky, East Kentucky, the pulpit was up here. That's the way they built them. It was an old Methodist church, and it had the little alcove, and when the pastor would speak, his voice would resonate, because they didn't have microphones. But I always would come down off of the pulpit, and they had a portable one. The problem was it was on wheels. So if you're preaching, you got to hold on to it, or you would... Because the way it was, they had it tilted down this way. But if you were with this, you started going uphill. You know, it was funny because you wanted to walk around with it. It was just one of those things. Because we didn't have microphones. But think about it. You know, even the church today, holiness is becoming rarely preached and taught. Folks are not called to live a holy life. They're not called to task. A well-known American evangelist spoke of holiness as something the church in America has all but lost. That's what he said. You know, I don't believe that, because I still see the church is still alive and well. It's not only in America, but it's around the world. Pastors sometimes are afraid to preach the truth. We need to call sin what sin is. This sin is no different than this sin. We have to call it what it is. We have to speak the truth. Sometimes pastors in the pulpit are afraid to speak the truth because they'll offend somebody. They'll say something today and somebody says, oh, He must be talking about me. I'm not going back there. But the word is for every one of us today. It's a reminder to live a holy life. Scripture demands that we be obedient and we live a life that is holy and pleasing and pure and acceptable to God. You know, are we going to make mistakes? Of course. We have a God that is quick to forgive, but we have to repent and we have to ask forgiveness. As we saw the songs today, or we sang them, the theme was holy, holy, pleasing and acceptable. We will make mistakes, of course. We're not perfect. But we have an advocate in Jesus Christ today who can and will set us free. He is one that will forgive and set us free from the sinful life. He can restore our broken fellowship with Him. You know, in the church today, in worldwide, there's a fracture in the church. But God can fix that fracture and make it whole again. You know, sometimes we have to look within ourselves first. We need to be right. To live in the world today, it's not easy to live a holy life. Scripture teaches us that it is possible. Today's Christians have gotten comfortable. We come to church, we do our part, and then we go home. They add God when they need Him. When they're going through a situation or a trial or some situation, where do people run to the church? I'm reminded of what happened with 9/11. Everybody remembers 9/11. And you know, pastors sort of shy away from talking about that. But you know what? When 9/11 happened, every church was full to overflowing. After 3 months after that, they began to decline. But every time there's a tragedy that happens in a community or around the world, where do people flock? To the church. But soon after, they start fading away. We put God into our life with no change. We do our part and we leave. But God calls us to change, to grow. You know, we're all work in progress. We're never going to reach the full potential until we cross over to glory and He says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But in the meantime, we need to walk the holy life. Sometimes there are Christians just in namesake. If you say Christians in some part of the world, first thing they look at, they say, "Oh my goodness, these are holy people. These are people that are better than I am. And I can never obtain that." Coming from the West, from America, going to the Southern Indian Ocean, and I can tell you from example, after 7 years and 6 months, you know what? When you mentioned Christian, nobody wanted, the Hindus didn't want nothing to do with you. The Muslims were like, "Oh, you're a Christian? I don't want to hear anything." You know? So I didn't tell people I was a Christian. I said, "Let my life shine." Like we talked about the light last week, the light and the life. The same here. Your light should shine from in. If you're a Christian, your life should be an example. Your life should live it. You should breathe it. You shouldn't have to tell somebody you're a Christian. They should know it by the way you act, what you say, what you do. The Old Testament prophets, along with John the Baptist and Jesus himself, called for radical change. If you see people's lives and they're not changing, we're not to judge them, but we, you know, are they living what it is to be a Christian? Are they living the holy life? When people accept the Lord, they're not going to happen overnight and be 100% sold out. They are going to make a profession of faith and they're going to grow. Not everybody grows on the same level. But we have to continue to move forward. Like I said, we have to continue to grow in our relationship with Christ. If there's little or no change, then something's wrong. Did they really make a profession of faith, or was it just something they did out of guilt, or did they do something? Because Pastor said, if you walk out that door, when I was a kid I used to hear it, if you walk out that door, you're not promised tomorrow. Those were things that scared me as a young child. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to die. I don't want this to be my last day. You know? But think about it. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next day. But if we, when it does come, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Like I said, the Old Testament prophets told them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We also hear John the Baptist. What did he say when he was preaching there and he was baptizing? He was telling them to repent. And Jesus often talked about that. When we're saved, we are saved from our heathen ways, an old-time word, but it's true. We are saved from a life of sin. We're saved from those desires and practice, and we're called to live a life of holiness. This holiness comes early in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, but it is a central message through the Gospel of Peter. The belief and behavior of living a holy life, it does not come naturally living through the flesh. We can't work our way. Nor is it easy to live a holy life in the world today because we have so many voices talking to us. When you look at the internet, you know, there's so much out there. There's so many voices trying to get our attention, but we only need to listen to one, and that's the Lord. The world and its desires, like I said, are clamoring for our attention. And the devil knows our weakness. He knows each and every one of our weaknesses, and he will use everything he can to do that. You know, all you, like I said, the internet, there's so much. You search a certain word and thousands upon thousands, even millions of possibilities are there. And all of them are going to lead you in a different direction. But pick up the Word of God and read the Word of God and see where it's going to lead you. Jesus tells us that he would never leave us or forsake us. And he told us that his yoke was easy and his burden was light. I've been some places and I often think, I said, God, I can't take any more. I can't take any more of this. You know, there's nothing happening. And I'm not seeing this happening. And he said, be still and listen to my voice. And you know what? Sometimes we have to stand still and listen. Because we're in the busyness of life. Like I said, everything's clamoring for your attention. The external appearance of holiness is a distorted view of the scripture. Sometimes we see holy of coming to church and we do this specifically. There's no right, there's no left. It has to be specifically done this way. But the scripture tells us that we are to come out of the world and be set apart. We're a peculiar people. Not strange. Peculiar is another word they use. But we are called to be set apart. We can be in the world, but not of the world. Sometimes we're so much like the world that there's no distinction. I heard a pastor this week talk about this. He said, some of our church has gotten so worldly that we don't even know it's called a church anymore. You know, and these are things we need to hear. The basic definition of holiness is to be holy. It's opposite of the common or the way the world is. Like I said, we're called to be set apart. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Someone said, do you know the will of God for your life? And the way you're going to know it is read the Word. Spend time in prayer. Get with God. Get with people that are grounded in the Word. Get with people that can help you along the way. He never said to go it alone. That's why we're here today, because we're here to encourage one another. We're here to lift up one another. We're here to pray for one another when we go through situations or crises that are beyond our control. We were never meant to walk alone. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for whom for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." It's like the scripture, the light we were talking about last week. Say, but I'm not a royal priesthood. But you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, the only God. John 17, verse 15 and 18 says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, but just as I am not of the world, sanctify them in the truth," the word of God. "Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world." In the Old Testament, we see holiness in the Exodus story. You know, we sometimes ignore the Old Testament sometimes, but it's relevant to us. It said, when God delivered the people, Israel, from the bondage in Egypt, he made clear distinction that he himself was the one and only true God. The Israelites were in captivity. After a period of time, they began to wane away from God, and they were listening to these other voices. Same in the world today. You know, as I said, I'm not knocking the internet, but it's for good, it's for bad. And you know, this is the thing we have to realize. We have to realize that God delivered his people. God delivered you and I today. As Christians, we're delivered from bondage, from sin. And he made the clear distinction, there's only one God. There's not multiple gods. We come from Mauritius, where the Hindus have 9,000 plus gods. You know, you say, how can you have that many gods? But they do, and they pick one deity and they worship this deity. If it works for a while, it's fine. They worship it and they keep worshiping it. They do their alms or whatever they do. I didn't fully understand all of that. Most of them were scary looking. But that, when you're brought up in that, that's what they know. If that deity did not work, they just went and got another one off a shelf and said, okay, we'll put this one in this little altar-like thing. They made like a, Noah used to call them mailboxes, but it looks like a tall pedestal with a square. It's got windows, like open portal, and they put the god in there, and then they light their candles, say their prayers, leave their flowers, leave their fruit, you know. That's what they're brought up in. But when, you know, when a Hindu knows that there's one true God, the God of the Bible, their life forever changes. All that stuff is thrown away. The statues are crushed. They do no more. They pray to the God in the Bible. There's only one God. They're very, very confused out there. Most of them, when they do accept the Lord as their personal Savior, their whole life changes. But they face being isolated by their families. So think about it today. In the Old Testament, God put himself above the Pharaoh and all the gods of Egypt. We can see how God made that clear distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. He was reminding them, there's only one God. He used plagues against them to show that he was God, and he reigned supreme over all. Holiness and the law of Moses. You think about it, you say, well, what is holiness? Why do we want to talk about it from this? But once the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, God gave them laws to govern their conduct. The conduct for every Israelite as he dwelt among them. The laws were given at Mount Sinai so that the Israelites would be called to be set apart as a nation, as God's holy people. However, the Ten Commandments were also given. But this was not to be called holy at the time. We did not find holiness. We don't find holiness directly linked to those commandments. They guide us. However, it's found that there was a command from God to be holy, for I am holy. There are references to holiness in Leviticus. Leviticus 11:44 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any swarming things that swarm on the earth." Leviticus 11:45, "For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy." It keeps repeating the same. Leviticus 19:2, "Speak to all the congregations of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for the Lord your God is holy." And Leviticus 20:26, "Thus you are to be holy to God, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine." This is what we have to remember today. We are to be set apart. I believe this divine design that's written in the scripture is true, that we must set ourselves apart from the world. We don't need to isolate ourselves. The scripture tells us we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Sometimes people tend to isolate themselves. You know, I think of a group that does that are cults. You know, we don't want to talk about them, but the cults, sometimes they set themselves in these groups, and then things begin to get distorted and distorted and distorted. Before you know it, they don't even know what they believe. But think about it today. We are called to be set apart. In Christianity, as Christians, God makes rules, and these rules are found in the Bible. What to do, what not to do, how to live. And they're not to our preference. Sometimes we say, oh, well, you know, I can go through and I can mark this out. Well, this doesn't apply to me because this was back in those days. I believe everything in the Word of God applies to us today. Everything in there, you know, has something for us, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus drew a line that separated his teachings to that of contemporary Judaism. He told them that righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees would not get them to heaven, because it was an outward experience and not an inward experience. Jesus warned them that wolves and false teachers who claimed to serve him, but they never really knew him. You know, we have people today that sit in churches that come and walk away. They don't know him. So we are called to be holy in our conduct. Holiness must be a way of life that affects everything that we do. Holiness is a lifestyle rather than a list of rules to conform to. And holiness is a choice. To march to a beat of a different drum, rather than live our lives according to what culture tells us, what the internet tells us. You know, many, many people will read the internet, and you'll hear me mention that many times, because there's so many voices out there that are telling you, yeah, this is the way you should go, or this is what you should not do. That's what we should be reading right there, the Bible. It'll tell us what we should do. We are called to be holy by imitating God. This means that we are saved by his grace, and we are to seek to conduct ourselves in a manner that reflects God. We must love as He loves, and we must hate what He hates. We think of that in sort of contrary to say, but, you know, God is love, but God also hated things. He did not like sin. He did not like the outward appearance. We must be merciful as God is merciful. And we're called to be conformed to His image, not the image we think we should be. And we are called to obey, to be holy by obeying His word. So the standard of holiness is found and set down in the Word of God. We're called to read it, we're called to learn from it, and we're called to meditate on the Word of God. One thing about holiness that's clear, it's a heart experience and a mind experience. We can change our heart when we're forgiven, but we have to renew our minds. We have to think differently. We can't think the way we always thought. It was God's call to those in Exodus for them to be holy, and it's God's call for us to be holy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." But 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built or a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see the good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven." So there's a strong tie between holiness and hope. That's what the world needs to hear. We need to fix our hope completely on the grace of God today that has brought us the revelation of Jesus Christ when we read the Word of God in the New Testament. As we're celebrating, as I said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As we're celebrating Easter, we're not putting Him back on the cross. We're remembering what the cross is for us. It's our hope. We were once blind, but now we see. We were once lost, but now we're found. We need to keep our focus on the One who was, the One who is, and the One who is yet to come. So think about it when you look up holiness. If you do an internet search, you'll see thousands of explanations of what it means to be holy. All we got to do is read the Word of God, and we know what it means. Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we're not always going to make the right decision. But we thank You that we have a God that forgives. We have a God that restores. And we have a God that never leaves us or forsakes us. Lord, as we go into the Easter season and we reflect of what transpired Palm Sunday, when those individuals standing there on the roadside, waving their palm branches, would say, "Hosanna, Hosanna to glory, Hosanna to the highest." And yet we're reminded of what would happen later when You would be beaten and then You would end up on a cross and You would die and be put into a tomb. Lord, as we reflect upon them, we reflect upon it this Easter season, we know that's not the end of the story, because we know that You were in a tomb and on 3 days you rose again and You gave us the hope of eternity. And Lord, You gave us the promise that You would never leave us or forsake us. So as we go this Easter season, we don't want to put You back on the cross and we don't want to put You in the tomb. We're reminded of what You already did. But Lord, we have the hope of eternity with You. We have the hope that you walk with us, that you walk with us, and you will help us to walk this life of holiness that you called us to. So, Lord, be with each and every one of us as we reflect over this Easter season, and help us to search our hearts and minds and see where we are. Are we on the highway to holiness, or are we on the highway to somewhere else? So, Lord, be with each and every one of us and help us to live a holy life as you reminded us that you were holy and you call us to be a holy people. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.